All right, welcome to the July 19th, 2023 Aries Working Group call. We've got a full agenda, marketing update from Alex and Helen, overview of Aries VCX is the highlight today. We've got the team here. Patrick is joining us to give an overview of Aries VCX, where a ton has been happening lately. Lots and lots of stuff going on. And then if we have time, we'll have a status of the SDK discussion at the end. And again, only if we have time for that one. Reminder that this is a Linux Foundation and Hyperledger Foundation meeting. So the Linux antitrust policy is in effect, which is on your screen. And the Hyperledger Code of Conduct is in effect. Let's be good to one another. Feel free to join the attendees list. I put the link to this page into the chat. If you jump in, please add your name to the attendees list. Is there anyone new to the meeting? If you are new, we welcome people to step up to the microphone and sort of say why you're here and what your interest is in and how we can help you get oriented in the Aries community. No takers on that? All right. As far as announcements, if anyone has announcements, I'm going to start with Akapai. We've got a release 090 pending. We've got one more PR to go into that. It will have a new release of Credex, which is the AnonCreds update, which has some performance improvements and some fixes in the AnonCreds and CL signature libraries. That's the big thing going into that. But there's a number of other things, including we're moving to Python 3.9 with this release. So the base will all be 3.9 in the various images and so on that are released. So that's the news happening in Akapai. Any other announcements from any of the other groups? All right. Alex, you've got the mic. Do you want to share?
Yeah, I'll share. Thank you. Okay, folks, 5 minutes, because we've got a busy meeting. I want to give an update on two things that Helen and I have been working on. A survey we sent around that many of you may have seen about Aries comms, and then an updated description of what Aries is that we want to put onto the wiki as a starting point ASAP. So rather than go into great detail, I'm going to go through them briefly right now, share them on the screen, but both links are in the meeting notes. So please review them at your leisure. They should be very in line with what we've been discussing the last few weeks. There's no surprises. So on that basis, what I'd like to propose is that we'll give it a couple of days for people to digest and follow up if they need to. Otherwise, we can do an update to the wiki landing page with a new description on the basis that we can always iterate it and make it better going forwards. So it's not set in stone, it's just much better than what we've got right now.
Sooner the better.
Yes. So on that basis, I'll just go through this briefly. There's a presentation, the link again is in the slide notes, in the meeting notes. We got 16 responses from the survey we put together. We publicized it on the Hyperledger Discord, here in the working group, within a few organizations as well. And the summary of the results is mostly in line. You can go into detail these questions at your own time, but mostly in line with what we thought before, with a couple of interesting insights. People didn't really care about Aries being front and center, saying that you don't require a blockchain. That wasn't important to people, both on the dev and exec side. And there wasn't massively strong support for being shouting from the rooftops about creating wallets and agents being the thing you have to say upfront. Of course, you can do that, but it's not as important as we thought it might have been. The rest of them are pretty much in line with what we thought, like privacy preserving everything else. These are the business results, and these are the developer results on the next slide. So again, you can look at those as you wish. We got some great suggestions of other things you might want to mention in our description from government level identity and KYC, vetted cryptography status and whether it's vetted and so forth, conformity to standards. So there's some great recommendations from people. And we also got a big laundry list of starting materials. lots of courses, repos, videos that we're going to put into that wiki page as well as starting points, people coming to this fresh. Here, along the line with what Stephen just said, the sooner we can update the Hyperledger pages by Aries, the better. And we're going to update that when we can, because they're doing a slight refresh now. And we're also going to update the README file for the main Aries GitHub page as well. So with that said, again, I'll just give you a quick summary. We've got these two descriptions in the other document that links also in the meeting notes. In line with those survey results, this is building on the draft we had before, and with a few changes and a bit more scannable and a few things deprioritized to make it clearer. So on the first page is a sort of general overview, and this is the one that will probably form the basis of the wiki page. And then probably to be adapted for the Hyperledger Aries, for the Hyperledger site, is this higher level, more exec focus with less terminology. And we can have this in our back pocket for future uses anyway, but there's this version as well, which is the same as the top one, but less techy.
Nice.
That reaches my time slot, but yeah, go ahead, Stephen, and welcome any initial thoughts right now.
This looks great.
Yeah, I think we got a good starting point. And again, I would suggest if anyone's got concerns about prioritization, what I'd like to recommend is that let's get this up. I mean, if you feel it's a showstopper, please say, because this is a community effort. But what I'd suggest is let's get something improved. And if we need to iterate it, by all means, reach out to Helen or myself. Our email addresses are on the meeting notes.
I'll also chime in here that I'm still putting together the list of links that folks sent, which is fantastic. We probably got at least have a couple dozen at least. But if there are any links to white papers, reports, blogs, you know, your company might have a podcast or whatever. Anyways, any type of links that you think are helpful and beneficial to new folks in that approach Aries, please send them my way, because we would love to have a quasi comprehensive, thriving list of community sourced places for people to read more and learn more and see the growth of the community.
Absolutely.
Awesome. Thanks so much.
Yeah, thank you, Stephen. Thank you, Patrick, for a short interjection there. And any feedback, send it our way. Much appreciated.
Do. All right. If no one has any other comments, let's go to Aries VCX. Let's get an introduction to that for those that haven't looked at it in a while and learn about it and hear from the team. So over to you, Patrick.
Thank you. All right, I'll share my screen and prepare some sort of improvised presentation. I like to use Draw.io, so I just sketch something together. All right. It's very flexible. All right, let me maybe turn off the camera for now. Okay, so hello everyone. My name is Patrick Stash. I'm one of the maintainers of Aries VCX, and I came here. Me and the team came here today to talk a little bit about what it is, who we are, and why we are doing what we're doing. So, starting with some general info, then we'll go into a component overview from perspective of where we are currently and where we are going, and maybe where we've been before. So that kind of should give you an idea of the trajectory of the project, not only the status quo at the moment, but also where we are headed from where. And so I'll talk a bit about the components we have deprecated, components which are sort of stable, new components we created from the scratch, and the stuff we are planning to do. So some more intro here. So first, like, elementary question: what is actually Aries VCX? So the general approach we take is that we rather consider ourselves as a library rather than framework. So it's not that kind of a batteries included approach. But rather, we are trying to provide the building blocks for creating Aries and also non-Aries applications. So we have a sort of a obviously the kind of first class citizen right now is the library itself implementing the Aries protocols, but also the repository contains a lot more. It's also a set of Aries agnostic supporting components written in Rust, like did resolver, did parser, etc. It's a project maintained by three people representing APSA, which is South African Bank, me included, and George Mulhern as a independent contributor. We have him on a call right now as well. We have everyone on the call, I believe. And then maybe the question is, why are we here now suddenly? We've been kind of working in the shadows for a long time, didn't really engage a lot with the community, didn't join these calls much. One of the reasons, just from the nature of, evolution of the library and experience of ourselves as developers as well. So some of you might know that the project was forked originally from something called libvcx, which was part of libindy, developed by Evernim. And just from nature of like having different philosophy before, different priorities, given what we're trying to achieve, we considered, you know, there was some amount of technical debt inheritance. So we had to do like a bunch of cleaning and trying to trim it into our, you know, our kind of shape we wanted to have. So for a long time, we didn't really feel confident to like invite people and engage like widely, because there was lots of our own work we felt like we need to do first. It was also difficult to onboard people. The setup to get the whole thing running was quite difficult. And maybe for some time in the past, we didn't even have like clear understanding of our identity, like who we actually are. Like, are we framework? Should we try to build things conveniently, batteries included kind of way? Are we trying to build an agent eventually? You know, we were not sure what we are, and this kind of shaped over time, and we understood that we are building, as I mentioned before, rather like components and library than like agent or framework even. So, and also additionally, we are looking to kind of start, just in general, we would like to engage more widely with the community, perhaps have more contribution outside of Aries VCX repo. And also, given the previous points, we feel more confident welcoming new contributors who would like to, you know, work with us and create something. There's plenty of work. So now, I will move to the component overview. But I just thought maybe it's a good idea to stop for a second and just like give a space for a short. And if there's any questions, although there'll be time for Q&A afterwards. So, but anyway, if there's any comments or thoughts before I move on, now is the time.
I'll ask one quick question. The series of agnostic supporting Rust components, do you see it as a good idea that things like the did resolver, a did parser would be useful to use in other Aries frameworks? So should we be looking at replacing a did resolver at ACAPI, say, with the did resolver component that you have?
I believe it would be a good idea. That's eventually our goal, to basically, you know, not only build like Aries library, but there's lots of stuff which is like the did resolver, right? Which is really independent from Aries and can be just generally used anywhere. So it would be a pity not to try to modularize it. So that's what we did. And well, if somebody uses it, we'll be more than happy, because then more people will be incentivized to make it awesome and great and reliable and safe. So, yeah. You know, it would be amazing if the as I mentioned last point, if there's new contributors who decide to, let's say, even just reuse some components, and then we would have, you know, a reason to work together. So that would be great.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm. Any other thoughts or comments?
Yes, I have a question, Patrick. Alberto here, we've been speaking for a couple of weeks on the Discord channel. Just one generic question here, and I have some follow-up question, but we can wait until the end. Mm-hmm. Why Rust? What are the advantages of this programming language? And what would you tell someone who's thinking about maybe going down this route of learning Rust to get into the space of contributing into Aries VCX? What right. would you tell that person? Yeah.
Yeah. So historically, like, we had just like a reasons to go with libvcx and improve it over time. But now, like, I guess additional reasons like emerge for us, or like strengthen our convictions, mainly the ease to integrate with other Rust components, given that most of the Aries, you know, basic components are written in Rust. We find that it makes sense, and it's easier and safer to just stay in the same ecosystem, use the advantage of all the typing and all the good stuff done in these core libraries. And well, in general, like the typically pitched like Rust advantages about the safety, typing, and like costless abstractions. But we find it like, it has lots of advantages to stay in the ecosystem, and basically implementing Aries in Rust, we can propagate the advantage to possibly other applications, whether it's mobile or whatever Rust Aries infrastructure you want to build, issuer, verifier, mediator. We are giving that option to stay in that ecosystem, not having to re-implement Aries, like, it's there. So now it's possible to actually build issuer, verifier, mediator, or whatever else, from these Rust components. So we like to consume these components natively, and we kind of want to propagate these advantages further to other applications and see it thriving.
Okay, thank you.
All right, I'll move on, and we can get back to some questions at the end. So I basically have only one more slide left, which is the component overview. Maximize this maybe. All right, that's better. All right, so this can go away. So here I draw like a kind of high level overview of all of the components, like a really holistic overview of the repo, maybe even too detailed in some parts, but I find those important. So for the coloring schema, so there's like the red ones are deprecated, blue ones are somewhat stable. Doesn't mean there's no changes, but I don't know, they've been around for a long time and maybe there wasn't so many changes recently. And then we have like new components, green, which are pretty much written from scratch, like really new greenfield components. Then we have yellow, which is in progress. There's a few of them. And then orange is kind of on the roadmap, or something we are thinking about or possibly planning or hoping that somebody else might do it maybe. So let's dive into it. So I'll start with like the main part, the core components, where we have, the Aries VCX crate itself. So this is for us kind of a first class citizen. This is the integration layer of all subcomponents we have. And it's a main building block for a third party application which wants to use Aries protocols for something. And so this is purely Rust. So you would consume Aries VCX from another Rust project. Aries VCX itself, it's, as you see, it's using like a number of subcomponents. There's some deprecated DIT doc, but we have a whole bunch of new crates actually written from scratch. So we rewritten our Aries messages data models from scratch. We have recently wrote a DID resolver, a DIT doc data model and builder, you know, and all the stuff you might want to have to kind of work with DID documents. And then some DIT methods. We have DIT soft, DIT web, DIT peer. Hopefully, I don't know the state of DIT indie, but they'll be coming as soon as it's possible to implement. And then we have, as you see, I split it out, Aries VCX crates kind of actually into two sections. So we have like a kind of an old person, a stable, and then we are now in progress of essentially rewriting our state machines in a better, more testable and reliable way to make sure that they don't really contain much, contain as little I/O as possible. And we are starting now with DIT Exchange Protocol, actually, with this approach. So we'll be adding more, we'll be applying kind of, we are in a pioneering stage where we are kind of discovering how to write this every state machines in a better way. And so the first one is kind of the most difficult, just still learning. And then we'll kind of reapply the same approach on all the other ones. Then we have also, I would like to mention this whole big green blob of components here, which is also written from scratch recently. That's about interfaces to the ledger. So we have general interfaces for simply reading and writing to writing anon creds structures. And then separate interfaces which are specific to indie. And then what I really like are the subcomponents underneath that. So that, for example, we have just transaction submitter interface, which can be for which we actually have, I believe, three different implementations. So we can submit your transactions using indie VDR, or we can use libindi, or we can even use VDR proxy. So this is super cool when you want to actually run issuer verifier service in restricted cloud environment where you might not be able to use Zero MQ because of security guys and stuff like that. So then in that case you can use VDR proxy to kind of offload that burden of dealing with Zero MQ, from your issuer verifier service, and you don't have to deal with those security compliance. You can kind of offload it somewhere else, maybe to different VPC or something. So I really like this one. And then we also have you can inject your own transaction caching. We have separate signer for transactions, which is basically only need that if you are ever writing on the indie ledger, and some response parser we cherry picked from libindi, as we found that indie VDR didn't have modeled like a data model for ledger responses, so we found this piece of libindi pretty useful. Well, and underneath that, we have the engine of this whole thing, which is like the ledger implementation, anon creds implementation, the wallet implementation. As you can see, we are now deprecating VDR tools, aka libindi ledger client implementation. Same wise with anon creds, we are deprecating VDR tools implementation, VDR tools / libindi implementation of anon creds in favor of credex, which we have just implemented recently, including migration from VDR tools to credex. And now we are kind of in progress, slightly struggling to move on to anon creds RS. It's kind of one of our challenges at the moment. And then with Wallet, we are pretty happy with VDR tools, aka Libindi, implementation of the Wallet, which provides MySQL and SQLite implementations. But the plan kind of is, this is an orange color, which stands for like roadmap or plant. We are definitely thinking of implementing the storage interface with Oscar as well. And then I actually move a layer up, which I skipped initially. I started from core components and went down to the underlying engine. But looking up, we also have like FFI layer on top of that and some application layer. So for the FFI, historically, there was something called libvcx, and that used to be actually the main value proposition in the old times when this code resided in the SDK. The libvcx provided a way for people to build mobile applications. Now that's being deprecated, as the approach itself, how to do this FFI, is kind of outdated at the moment, and there are better alternatives to do this. So instead, we are kind of in a prototyping, like initial phases of building alternative to libvcx, so people will be able to build mobile applications using, basically providing Aries VCX APIs to Java, to Android and iOS. So we have started a Hyperledger mentorship project, which got approved, and we have a mentee right now. We are mentoring, working on a Uni FFI based wrapper around Aries VCX, which auto generates, which will be auto generating Kotlin and Swift wrappers. So it should be a lot easier to maintain, and should be a lot more reliable, safer, all the good stuff. Now moving to the right side, this is technically these two are equivalent. It's just like these two boxes, FFI and applications. It's just some Rust libraries or applications which consume Aries VCX as the kind of a main crate. And so, but the difference here is in the application section, I've put here projects which are like natively in Rust and will stay in Rust. So we have within the repo, we have something called Aries VCX agent, which is like really simple Aries agent library, makes it a little bit easier to build an agent in Rust. It provides persistence and some default processing of messages. Which is likely desiring like agent implementation. And then on top of that, we have implemented the back channel for Aries agent test harness, which is like running. By the way, here I have like the latest result I found. This is the VCX interop with the other framework. So we have like decent coverage with Akapai. We have coverage with AFJ. Not full. I think some tests are like skipped, or maybe something's failing. We'll have to take a look at that. We have obviously good coverage with ourselves. There's other frameworks we don't have coverage, but they also don't have coverage with other ones. For example, the .NET or AFGGo, they don't have much coverage with the other frameworks either. So we try to cover the kind of the main, we consider main ones, the Akapai and AFJ at the moment, lots of big communities around these. So that's what we kind of care about the most right now in terms of the interop. Moving forward to the other applications here. So we have another mentorship project under Hyperledger, which is Aries Mediator, or DITCOM Mediator. So it's just like standard stuff, pickup protocol 2.0, it's kind of experimental. I know there's a talks on Discord about mediators, and we are not very active there, just kind of trying stuff on our own right now. you know, and see where we get, I guess. Maybe, you know, we can, if we run into challenges or some like learnings, we can share that. But right now it's in a very initial stages. So we don't really have much to share yet. And then in an orange color as a kind of a planned or, you know, thought about at least is some sort of enterprise issue verifier. It seems like a natural evolution that lots of people is interested in, I would say, FFI. People who come into Aries VCX are often asking about, are often looking to build native applications. They're asking about libvcx. We tell them that it's deprecated, that there's UniFFI. You know, it's kind of a hard choice. It's kind of a difficult moment right now because this is deprecated and this is not yet mature. So it's kind of either build something kind of on your own or you contribute here or you just stay patient. But in terms of like on the other underside, you know, of the issuer and verifier, you know, given that it's kind of a crucial service, I would find it as a natural evolution that we want to get here and have, you know, take advantage of all the performance and the safety and typing in like issuer verifier landscape as well. So yeah, this is kind of what it is, what we do. And I guess I'll just leave space for discussion now. Any questions?
That's an awesome overview. That was a lot. One question came up. I had the same, Colton asked it as well. In the DidPeer, have you been following the DidPeer 3 and have you got support for DidPeer 3 in that?
Yeah, we have implemented DidPeer 2 and DidPeer 3.
Excellent. Okay, good.
We catched up. If we are synced up with like the latest developments, I know there was like some edits in the RFC.
Yeah, there's a couple of
we
edits
might have to,
yeah,
we might have to catch up on that, but we haven't yet actually integrated the DidPeer itself with the kind of the state machines and the, you know, the Aries kind of core component, and it's more of a plan to be part of the new state machine and the DID exchange protocol we are just implementing now. It should support DidPeer, so we'll definitely, you know, be careful there, make sure that it's like ready once this kind of turns green or blue.
Yeah.
Hey Patrick, I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, in regards to UniFi, so these wrappers you mentioned with Kotlin and Swift, so you're saying this will expose the Aries VCX API and engine, and what would you be able to do with those wrappers? Would you be able to, for example, create like a wallet implementation on the mobile side?
Yeah, so you'll be able to do anything. I mean, the end goal, it depends what we, you know, how much this will be matured, what kind of, how much integration it will have with Aries VCX. But technically, you can propagate all the APIs we have in Aries VCX. We can propagate, you know, we can enable in those Kotlin and Swift wrappers. So you would be able to do anything in those, what you are able to do in Aries VCX, like a Rust crate.
All right, cool. Thanks.
By the way, I believe that, correct me if I'm wrong, if somebody more familiar, I believe that UniFi also generates Python bindings, but I'm not 100% sure about it. We mainly do it for the Kotlin and Swift. That's the kind of the main goal though.
Hey, but Patrick, could I jump in real quick?
Yeah, for sure.
So on the UniFi, just a quick shameless plug. I've written some tutorials on how to use UniFi and what that means in relation to FFI. I put the link in the chat if you guys would like to take a look. One of the things that I've also done, so UniFi natively supports Swift, Kotlin, Python, and Ruby. I think it also does some other integration with C, C++, although that seems redundant. One of the tutorials, the latest one I wrote, I needed to use a Rust library in Java. And so what I ended up doing was creating a Kotlin wrapper and then showing, going through the process of how to create that and then importing that into Java. And so some other guys have done some work integrating with C#.NET. That's not part of my tutorials, but that's also out there. So all of this is growing, but if you'd like to take a look at my tutorials, they're a real super simple way to get started in that.
That sounds great. I think this can be a great help for our mentee working with the UniFFI. Thanks for that.
Mm-hmm. And actually, Patrick, on that note, will this mentorship program be open again to the community? And
So I think that Hyperledger is organizing this once a year. I don't know if they, and it's been happening for the past 3 or 4 years, I believe. So just extrapolating based on that, I assume that there will be another one in a year or so. But until then, you know, this mentorship lasts until November. And then, yeah, I don't know what's the Hyperledger plan for these mentorships in 2024.
Got it. Thank you.
Understand that mentorship, that UniFFI, basically what you do is you define what the interface looks like, and then you can generate, and then it's just generated from a single source for all of the different things you want. Like you just say, oh, I'm going to do Python as well. Is that correct? Or is there got to be customizations when you do Python and other customizations when you do Kotlin?
Yeah, precisely. I believe there's no need for other customizations, but maybe Steve might know better.
Yeah, that's true. When you create the language wrapper, once you start with creating a UDL, which is kind of like web IDL, representation of the interface you want to create, and then it's a single command line command to create the, each individual language wrapper. So once you've created it for Python, let's say, you want to create it for Kotlin, it is literally one command line command to do that.
Okay, so it's more you're maintaining this, I can't remember what you need, this definition and then just generating from there. Okay, good.
Yes.
Seems worth the effort.
I've enjoyed it, so I'm a strong proponent. I looked at doing this without UniFFI a couple of years ago, taking the ASCAR library and porting it over, and nobody liked the FFI-based Swift implementation that we created because it felt to Swift developers like C, and Swift developers don't like that. And so this makes it feel like the native language. Mozilla's done some really good work on this one.
Then the other comment I made in the chat, Patrick, is definitely as you're looking at that Mediator project, and if you're looking at supporting WebSockets, definitely look at the work Indicio's done and contributed to Aries in the Aries socket doc repository.
I heard about that, but thanks for additional heads up. I'll see how we can harness that and perhaps save ourselves some work with the WebSockets.
And the other thing is, I think this is the most active, well, I'm sure there's other stuff going on around SocketDoc, but right now, if you're doing Mediator and you've got a project like this, I think it would be worth taking a look at it.
All right, thank you.
Any other questions? This has been a great summary. That picture's awesome.
Thank you.
Excellent. All right. Anything else you want to share?
No, I think that's it. That's all okay. I had. Thank you.
I'll see about grabbing the sections, the intro and the sections out of the recording. So you've got those as well. I suspect it'll be a YouTube. So it might be just links into the starting points, but I'll let you know when they start. So you can use those for other purposes. Great presentation. Really appreciate it.
Thank you. Thanks for space to talk about it.
Okay. As we talk about more general Aries things, we definitely would love to have you folks, if you can make this time slot, have you join in, because obviously there's lots of things we can learn and share and make decisions about together. So that would be very helpful. Status of the Indie SDK. Basically, I did a short presentation and I could probably bring it up again, but on the Indie Contributors call yesterday, but talking about the need to deprecate libIndie, a lot of what we've been talking about today, or a lot about what Patrick mentioned, is the transformation that VCX has done. But we really need to more aggressively in the community deprecate and perhaps archive the Indie SDK repository. And so in the Indie project, we're talking about that. And I wanted to make sure the Aries community knew about that and was taking steps to do it, because part of the work is for the Aries frameworks and libraries to take into account, make it so that there's alternatives to you from using the Indie SDK. But then there's those that are using the frameworks and using the libraries to do that transition as well. And for anything new, nothing new should be starting with libIndie as the basis. So if you're starting new with Aries projects, should definitely be on the not using libIndie. For those that are using it, there are conversion and migration tools, and we're going to be highlighting those in the next little while to make sure as much as possible people are moving away from libIndie and over to the newer tools, the both more performant, more stable, and better maintained shared components, or the tag that's used for all of them is just ASCAR based right now, but it encompasses both Indie VDR, which is the interface to Indie, ASCAR, which is the storage component, and then either CredX or AnonCreds, Hyperledger AnonCreds, as the AnonCreds implementation. Those are the three components that make up the Indie SDK, and those are the new components that we're transitioning to. We just need to push that transition along. I wanted to get that word out there. I don't know if anyone has any other follow-up or comments on that. I believe if you're using VCX, AFJ, or Akapai, it's pretty easy to use the other tools instead of libIndie. And as I say, definitely start doing that, because we need to deprecate the Indie SDK. All right. That's all I had. I guess we do have a little bit more time than I had expected. Sorry for making you compress, Alex, your session.
Forgiven.
All right. Thank you. Any other topics people want to raise? I see there's something in chat. Okay. A question from Daniel. Daniel, you want to jump on and ask?
Sure. I was just, as a follow-up to the unified discussion, does it support generating like idiomatic async in the wrappers that it generates? Pretty straightforward question. Just curious.
Yeah, I know that there was a last time I checked, there was some issues about, you know, using async in UniFFI community, and there was some PRs addressing that. So I believe if it's not already there, they're definitely working on it. But again, maybe Steve might know better here. Steve, do you know?
I haven't used the async capabilities. Maybe that needs to be part of another tutorial. I do know they're working on completion handling, and that's the code's been rolled into the database already for the next release. So hopefully the future completion stuff is imminent.
Yeah, they have some fixtures for async handling in Kotlin Swift, but I don't think they've officially released it yet because it's not in any of the docs just yet. But it seems like soon.
Okay, interesting. I would read a tutorial about async interfaces generated by Unify, so I'd definitely be interested in that.
Sweet, I got one reader. I'll get right on it.
I mean, Daniel's point is that's a pretty core part of what we're doing in Aries, and a pretty crucial feature. Is that that's the motivation for the question?
Yeah.
So when I looked at it, when I was working on one of the first things I was working on with Unify was Aries Askar. And there's lots of those features in there. And so what it caused me kind of an architectural introspection, if you will. Do the features belong in the library or in how the library is called? And I know we could debate that back and forth, and there's probably no right answer. For now, what I've been doing is putting that kind of stuff in how the library is called versus in the library itself. But once that capability is, and the reason for that is how certain things are handled cross language kind of matters. And so Kotlin or Swift or Java or whatever might have some nuances that are different than Rust. And so, you know, how do they, when you go cross language programming like that, part of what you need to keep in mind is how the differences synchronize. And so that's what I've done so far, but with these features emerging from Unify, maybe that'll smooth all that out and it won't be an issue. But that's where I've done things before. The other thing that I've done is, well, let me just leave it at that. So I'm following that, and as soon as that becomes GA from Unify, I plan to write a tutorial specifically on that.
Okay. Excellent. Okay, any other questions, comments? With that, we wrap up. Sam is away for another week, so I'll be back again next week. If anyone has topics they want to discuss, let me know. Otherwise, I will plan on probably getting us back into issues related to transitioning the community, transition of unqualified DIDs, and some other Aries RFC things that are coming up. So sort of issues that are across the Aries community. But welcome other topics. Just shoot me a note on Discord and let me know. And with that, I will wrap up this meeting. Thanks all for joining. And thanks especially, Patrick. Great presentation, and the team with Aries VCX looks fantastic work.
Have a good one.
Take care.
Great presentation. Thanks all.